Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit Podcast. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Arif Khan, who is a serial entrepreneur and is also a partner and CEO of Siva Inc., which provides custom website and marketing strategies for their clients. Today, we're going to be discussing Arif's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Julie. It's fun to be here.
Awesome. So to get started, I'm going to ask you, you know, what really motivates or inspires you as an agency owner?
You know, that is a fantastic question. And I think everybody has to have that reality check every once in a while of not only what motivated us to start something, but also what motivates us to continue doing something. And has anything changed within our ecosystem that, you know, might impact that. But for me, I suppose ever since I was, you know, a kid, a teenager, looking for what my purpose was in life, one of the things that I found and somebody that I really admired and followed was, and it's close to home, I'm not the only one with this, but I followed my father and his mm-hmm. purpose in life, and really looking at the skill sets that he brought to the table, the education, his roots, his background, et cetera, and what he was able really to do in terms of having impact in the world was really being a broker of people, of relationships, bringing people together who have a skill set or an offering with and matching them with people who have a need. And that's not something that they really teach in the world and in school and conventional school systems. But what my motivation mm-hmm. was is really genuinely it's service and realizing that there are many people who suffer a gap, and how can we assist them in identifying what that gap is, and how can we assist them in refining what their expectations are for themselves and how they can serve? Because at the end of the day, if you can't serve in some way, shape, or form, there really is a struggle to find purpose and success in your venture.
Yeah, absolutely. So it sounds like where your strong suit lies is you're really able to listen and uncover what those issues are that your clients may be facing, even if they're maybe not 100% sure where they are. You're able to kind of dig that out of them and then come up with that tailored solution for them.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. When you look at the majority of people, I mean, it really is something that transcends all different industries, all different educations, all different caste or class systems in society. I mean, you can get pretty deep on this kind of thing. But at the end of the day, the majority of us wake up one day and realize, I don't even know how I got here. It's just been a series of, you know, shutting our eyes at night and wake up in the morning and continuing on a certain trajectory without necessarily mm-hmm. having someone to hold us accountable, to be accountable to ourselves. And next thing you know, a year's gone by, 5 years have gone by, 10 years have gone by, and you're like, is this what I really signed up for? You know, so one of the things that we're able to do in terms of finding purpose, and I know that this is a show about digital or a podcast about digital marketing, and what the heck does this have to do with any of it? And the answer to us at Siva is really everything, because everything that comes mm-hmm. after that with all of the widgets and the tricks and the tools and the formulas is meaningless if we don't actually help our clients understand where they are and where, you know, what their purpose is, what their intentions are, and really what they're struggling mm-hmm. for or striving towards or aiming towards. It doesn't matter if we don't figure that stuff out first.
Yeah, I love that. You definitely have to have your why and, you know, figure out what really is going to drive you and bring you passion as an entrepreneur. And then the work you're able to deliver is just so much more meaningful. And it's just, yeah, it's a higher quality product that you're able to deliver at the end of the day.
For sure. Julia, one of the things that always resonates with me is that, you know, back in, well, when I was a kid, one of the examples that came up with, came my way was, you know, the, it's a horrible story, and it's just an analogy, but of the strength of a mother if her child gets trapped under a car, for example, or under something heavy. And it's, like I said, it's a lousy picture to paint, but you would never question the commitment or the conviction or the ability of a mother who wants to rescue her child from a dangerous situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, if there's a bear attacking, or if there's a robber or whatever, you know, don't test that person, because they know exactly what they have to do. Every other element that is in the periphery gets tuned out. They've got tunnel vision, and they know exactly why they exist. And they're going to exert all of the energy, all the strength, all the focus that they need to have a successful outcome and to protect their child. So we can think of that as kind of cute, what a neat little analogy, or how funny that is, or how horrible an analogy that is. And that's all fair. But when you actually take it into this context here, when we're working with people who are, you know, taking mortgages or loans or burning their credit card, a hole in their credit card to fund their business or their agency or whatever their business is. But if they're not completely focused on their reason why and completely committed on their to their reason why, then they're distracted. Even if it's 1%, that 1% is going to be their downfall.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No, it's so true. And having a financial motivator isn't enough. You have to have something that is really going to bring you passion and that you feel deeply for on a deeper level, I think.
Absolutely. So true. Because, I mean, there is so much competition out there, and rightly so. There are so many people who work in our industry, in our field. Google search it. I mean, it'll come up by the hundreds and thousands, if not millions, depending on how wide you want your search to span. So why you? Why me? You know, why is somebody going to hire us? Why is someone, you know, if you're a plumber, why is someone going to hire you? If your service offering is generic, and if your service offering is I fix drains and it's the exact same thing as everybody else, well, then why are they going to pick you? You know, is it a race to the bottom because you're competing on price? Or what do you bring to the table that is going to make somebody want to work with you? Or us.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, I love it. It's such a great thing to really investigate into as an entrepreneur.
For sure.
So Arif, I would love to know a little bit more about your story of Siva Inc. So tell us about, you know, how you got into the agency. You know, I know you are a partner. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that journey of what led you into joining and growing Siva Inc.
Perfect. Thanks for that. So I'll give you a little bit of a background just before I got involved. And that is my partner, Mallory Steele, is by training and by education, a computer scientist. She's a full stack developer. She's also studied journalism, I believe, as a minor. I should probably check that, but I believe that it was a minor. And she started her career before I met her. And had worked as a developer for a variety of agencies, and also had worked for the government, branch of the government, you know, solving some of their challenges with their websites during a time where the government had to become AODA compliant or accessibility compliant. And that was her focus there. But throughout her career there, she realized, you know, her purpose was to start an agency, and having had an opportunity to work at another agency and seeing how they operated and how they served their clients, she just sort of felt that her purpose, her sense, her reason for being was just not quite aligned with that agency, and she wanted to start something on her own. And that was to provide full custom digital services, full custom marketing, full custom development, not using any templates per se, if you will, just realizing that there were some inherent challenges and inherent differences in the results that you could garner for your clients if you were operating and developing in a full custom environment. A variety of things that we can go into later. So that was sort of the background of what motivated her to start Siva. And we met about 4 years ago, just before the pandemic, obviously, about a year prior to the pandemic. And so that wasn't even on anybody's radar, I think, at the time. And we met working on a bit of a philanthropic project in our community in Barrie that was designed around sort of bringing out the best in people, in communities, and in business owners, not only locally in our community, but across Canada. We were working on a cross Canada project. And
Oh, interesting.
phenomenal project. It was really about, in a time in a world where there was so much negativity or pessimism around a variety of hashtags that you might have recalled a few years ago in the world and in society. It was motivated by trying to catch people doing things right, and how could we sort of shine a positive light? How could we change the barometer and shine a positive light on what people are doing in their communities and in business? So that's how we met. And my background actually is not in digital marketing whatsoever. I am daily reminded, and I daily remind both our clients and our staff that I am the least qualified person in the company when it comes to specific technical skill sets like actual development. That's not my role actually in the agency whatsoever. My background is actually in finance. My background actually is in financial services underwriting, a little bit of a forensic underwriting perspective of looking and analyzing, critiquing people's business models, critiquing people's financial statements, and looking at their viability, looking at how likely they are, one, to succeed in their business venture from a numbers perspective, also the business model, so their management perspective. And then, as a bit of a side note, more for an interest's sake, just looking if I could catch people who are kind of trying to cheat the system. And you throw in a word like fraud in there. I'm looking for people who are trying to sort of go around the system or shortcut the system. And that was totally on the financial side. And so, again, what does that have to do with anything in digital marketing? Well, when we met, we realized that there was actually a huge gap in the marketplace, and that gap became exacerbated or magnified as we rolled into 2020 and COVID hit, when all of a sudden we realized that all the marketing in the world, all the marketing initiatives, whether it's social media marketing initiatives, Google, Facebook, TikTok is now a thing, and Instagram, and all these different platforms were the next greatest solution. That if forget all those other things you're doing, if you just sign up for this widget or this platform, and follow my quick, easy steps to billionaire status, you're gonna be successful. And we realized that that's just so completely untrue. And it's challenging because we are that agency. We're that agency that is here to help people with marketing initiatives, with website initiatives. We build applications, mobile applications. We build software as a service applications. We build systems, et cetera. And we realize that, well, this isn't going to be sounding great to anybody who are agency partners listening to this podcast, but we internally realized that we in the industry didn't actually know what we were doing. We in the industry of advertising and marketing have been selling people on an idea that if they just sign up for our subscription, they're going to be number one. I can get you number one on Google ranking. Well, sure you can. If you refine the search and the keyword narrow enough, I can make you number one for, bald or hairy pink elephants or whatever it might be that nobody's searching for, but actually in the category, in the niche that they need to succeed. It's who's got the most money and who's bidding for the highest dollars and stuff like that. So we realized that there was so much more to assisting our clients in achieving success beyond those superficial things that we're getting them to subscribe to. And what
Interesting.
we actually had to help them do was get back to the basics and understand the fundamentals of their business, to understand, are they a business owner actually? Or are they a sole proprietor? Are they a technician? Are they actually an entrepreneur? Because they're not the same. Somebody who's really good at something and decides to hang their own sign outside their door, their front door, doesn't instantly make them a business owner. It makes them somebody who's self-employed, but they're also probably pulling their hair out, being a phenomenal technician at what they do, but maybe they've got no experience in business. Maybe they don't understand human behavior. Maybe they don't understand psychology. Maybe they don't understand emotional decisions. Maybe they don't understand the data and the metrics behind the way the consumer behaves. Maybe they actually don't know why they're in business. Maybe they're trying to sell people something, but maybe nobody's really trying to buy what they're selling. And maybe that's why they're struggling. So we really identified during COVID, which was in one of our earlier years of existence as an agency, having started in 2017. We were still definitely a startup business, But what we realized really quickly was that the biggest struggle that both our clients and our own industry was dealing with was that we were all trying to sell sort of phase three before understanding phase one of what it is to be successful and what it is to have success and scale and grow and run a successful business or enterprise.
That's so interesting. Yeah, that's such an amazing way to really just differentiate yourself right at the gate from just, you know, your standard digital marketing services. So you're going to really help them dive in to see, you know, what their finances look like and how they can be more profitable. And is that something that you lump in with all of your services that you offer your clients, or is that kind of like a cross-sell service?
You know, it's a great question. And listen, I mean, I should be very careful because all of the people who serve in our field, we all have something that motivates us. It was the very first question that you asked us, like, what inspired you? What drives you? And so mm-hmm. The fair question is, what business do I have being in this industry? And what was it that I brought to the table? What was our value proposition that made us different from everybody else that is in our field? We actually don't mm-hmm. look like we don't look at it as having competitors, because there are so many people who are super talented at what they do, whether they're graphic designers or copywriters or, developers, for example. But mm-hmm. even for ourselves yep. as an industry, so we as an agency, we actually do a lot of agency to agency work where we're supporting our colleagues within our own space, helping them with nice. Fulfillment. Our goal has to be sincere. And our goal at its most fundamental level is we want to help small and medium sized business owners who may or may not have the resources or the capital that some of these mega corporations have with, you know, departments that would boggle most of our minds, right, to help guide them, and certainly the financial resources. We want to attempt to level that playing field. I don't know that we ever will level the playing field for everybody, but for anybody who's yeah. actually looking for it, how can we help level that playing field? So how can we genuinely partner directly with our clients as end users, or with others who are offering services within the industry, who they themselves are amazing technicians as designers, where they're incredible with the creative suite of products that are out there. But maybe mm-hmm. they themselves don't have a background in economics. Maybe they themselves don't have a background in accounting or finance or whatever it is. Maybe they just yeah. simply don't have that, and they don't know that they can't offer that, because again, like I said, we wake up one day, 10 years later, going, how did I get here? And I started off as a graphic designer, and I love graphic design, and I love making beautiful print media or beautiful digital media. But now I'm here trying to serve my client, and maybe there's something missing. So our goal is, with all of our clients, absolutely 100%, before we take dollar one and literally light a match under it, because if we don't get the basic foundation figured out, then it's all going to end up not where we want it to, right? Not where we have. So we really sit and have an audit moment with our clients to help them break down, to make sure that they know who they are, why they're there. You know, as you said earlier, know your reason why, but make sure that fundamentally they're set up with the right resources in place, because if they're trying to do bookkeeping at the same time as trying to, you know, fix their plumbing problem for their client at the same time as they don't know how to, they haven't had to deal with HR issues or taxation issues or whatever it may be, and they're running around trying to accomplish mm-hmm. everything, that's broken focus again, and they'll never be able to achieve what they want to do. They'll always just be burnt out, stressed out, and tired, and not able to give their business what it deserves. So,
yeah. Interesting. So you help them to find that clarity, and then you'll put together, you know, a custom plan for them to get them to where they want to go.
Absolutely. And then and only then we can actually help them through a strategy on making sure that we're building a website that converts, making sure that, because again, if you don't, a lot of people are chasing social media marketing out there, but if you're driving social media marketing and you're doing that ad spend or that sponsorship or that promoting that ad or whatever it may be, but mm-hmm. by the time that traffic lands on the site, if that site's not set up to convert, then you're not having success there either. So, you know, again, we're helping our clients understand what is the marketing journey. And by the way, please don't call us and think that you're going to just pay us a minimum subscription and hand it off and we're going to help your business grow and be successful. There's a lot of effort that the business owner themselves has to put in, right? If we're going to be successful, then you're going to have to participate in your own success. There is no three easy payments of $99.99 that's going to get you to success. Like, it just doesn't exist.
True.
So we need our clients, and we demand of our clients that they decide that they're going to get invested in it. That means getting up an hour earlier. Great. That means staying up an hour later. Great. But you're not handing it off to us to go and make you successful. We're going to partner with you, and we're going to work with you, and we're going to get down to those basics, and we're going to figure out a plan to work together. And eventually, yes, we will roll out a social media marketing campaign, depending on which platform is the appropriate platform for the audience. Yes, but that's also only going to come after we make sure that we have a site that is working and converting and serving its purpose. So there's a lot to it, obviously, as you know. But one of the things that we notice where our value proposition comes in is that a lot of people think that they can jump to step three, and you cannot shortcut success. You just can't do it. So it all comes back to, you know, again, what purpose do I serve? Not being a designer, not being a developer, is making sure that we sit down and have a conversation. What I'm bringing in is literally the things that the education system didn't offer the majority of people in North America. Let's go with it, because our clients aren't localized necessarily. But the grade, you know, K-12 program, and even letting you choose your own adventure as you go off to college or secondary education. If you're going to be in business, you got to study business, and you got to get those fundamentals figured out.
Yes. And I love that you guys really hold your clients accountable, and you demand that they are going to play a role in working with you guys as partners, instead of, you know, having that relationship where you guys are doing the work and then you're kind of chasing the client a little bit. I love that you really set those expectations early on, because I hear time and time again that agency owners struggle with, you know, their clients taking too long to respond to emails and not getting them things that they need so that they can do their job. And I think, you know, if you really put a strong emphasis on that up front, it's just they're going to have that clear idea in their mind. It'll set those expectations, and then you're able to deliver a higher quality of work as well.
You know, Julia, that is absolutely everything. If there was one piece of advice that I would, you know, offer anybody listening or anybody struggling, and we do it, like I said, we're not in competition. There is so much business out there. There is so much opportunity out there. And by the way, as flawed human beings that we all are, we all fall, you know, victim prey to ourselves, getting ahead of ourselves. Like, I think I landed one. I think I got this client. And what's it going to take for me to close this deal? And we've really had to teach ourselves and condition ourselves to actually back off of that. Right? It's not about closing the deal. If you, and again, this is something that my dad taught me. And sometimes he had to nurture a relationship for 2 years or 10 years or 12 years. There was one that I remember he nurtured for 12 years, which is an insane amount of time to nurture a relationship. But it wasn't like he camped out on that one relationship for 12 years and did nothing in between, but he knew how to maintain the bond of that relationship and build that trust. And when the time and the people and the place and everything was right, it came together. He didn't just abandon it or discard it. But so often, we're focused on the here and now and the immediate, like that quick satisfaction. And that has, I'm sure anybody listening who is in a position running an agency knows this. Sometimes our biggest learning moment is when we're like, yeah, I really should have thought twice about taking on that client, because I compromised at some point, whether it was an expectation, our core value, on price point or whatever, just to land it. And then I don't want to say regret it, but potentially regret it for the duration of the relationship. And then the relationship sometimes will end not on a happy note. And we've had to learn that ourselves for ourselves, especially because we have a business development team. We've got a sales team, if you will. Again, our sales team, how are they motivated, right? Are they motivated by commissions only? Are they motivated by what? What is that metric that we're following that, where we reward them for their efforts of attaining those, you know, achieving those expectations that we set out for them? If it's only how many deals can you close, well, then all they're focused on is how many deals they close so that they can get that bonus or that commission structure. Well, by what criteria? So if we set up as an agency that expectation that is based on just closing those numbers and not based on what is it to have a long, successful, fruitful, productive relationship with a client, Jen, we've already set ourselves up for disaster. So we had to look at that ourselves in terms of what is our measurement for success and of a successful relationship with our clients.
Yeah, that's so smart. Yeah, set yourself up for success before just closing the client.
Yeah, 100%. And listen, like, you don't want to regret it because sometimes having to endure that relationship or having to offload that client is more costly than the benefit of, you know, that short-lived benefit of sort of celebrating that victory that you landed one. Like, we don't ever want to land one anymore. That's not in our sights at all. It's really about how do we filter, how do you learn how to say no, that maybe it's just not the right relationship. You know, how do you deny yourself, right? That immediate, that instant gratification. And because, like I said, there's so much business out there, and something that's right for us may not be right for another agency, and something that's right for another agency may not be right for us. So it's not about good versus bad. It's how well are you aligned in your model.
Yeah, absolutely. So how do you go about, you know, identifying clients you love to work with and then nurturing that relationship so that, you know, if you've identified this as a company you'd love to work for, you think you can really deliver them a ton of value. Do you have any, you know, tips or processes that you put in place to kind of nurture that relationship to potentially work together down the road?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And again, I would say that there's always room to be, you know, studying your data, analyzing your data. And also remember, as an agency, let me back out, actually, it has nothing to do with being an agency. And it has everything to do with being a successful, viable business. So what we look at, I believe, would transcend any industry whatsoever. And again, whether you're in the skilled trades or professional services as a doctor, lawyer, accountant, something like that, therapist, anything. One, where I am today and what's working for me today may or may not work for me tomorrow. It's the same thing with a website, by the way, right? Like, anybody who bought a website 5 years ago, if their website's still the same today, and we've just gone through 3 years of pandemic and all the changes in the market, you're dead, right? You don't exist. So it has to be a living document. And so does our business model. Our business model and our plan has to be a living document that constantly adapts and adjusts and, in fact, predicts and forecasts for what's going on in the economy. Right now, we've got surging inflation and skyrocketing interest rates and potential for recession looming, et cetera. So who our client was 2 years ago versus today versus 5 years ago versus 2 years from now, it's probably going to be different to a certain degree, or how we go about acquiring and onboarding that client is going to be a little bit different. So we have to be attentive and in tune with what the market indicators are. You know, again, as experts in SEO, we all talk about in the industry, you know, I'm an expert at SEO analytics. Well, what does that mean? Like, a lot of people don't even, it sounds important, don't know what it means, right? But what does it actually mean? Studying the data, studying the evidence, and then making informed decisions and forecasting and basically taking a risk or a bet based on what that information's told us to do. Well, so to answer your question about how do we go about finding a client, it's the exact same process, right? For our business, we have to study what the marketplace is. But who are we looking for? Typically speaking, if I was to nail it down, somebody who respects their own business enough to realize that they need to invest in it. Somebody who looks at who they are in their business and recognizes that while they may be an expert technician or tactician at one or a few specific skill sets, maybe that we're not experts in, but that they need to hire or outsource the other expertise that they need, right? And whether that's hiring an agency or hiring someone in-house, and we have an opinion on that, of course. But then, so recognizing that that's a worthwhile investment, recognizing that where I am is not necessarily where I want to be. And so to continue to doing the same thing, we've all heard that saying, right? The one that I've adapted lately that I really fell in love with is, if nothing changes, then nothing changes, which is kind of the same thing as Einstein's. If to do the same thing and expect different results is insane, but I kind of like this one a little bit better. But so somebody who values that we're professionals and that we deserve to get paid, and I'm not in a race to the bottom, so I will not negotiate on price whatsoever, period, mm-hmm. right? I will, everything that we quote is specific to that client, but I'm not going to devalue the work of our experts in-house just to land the piece of business, because that'll get old quick.
Right? Yes, definitely.
So where are they? What is their goal? How dedicated and committed are they to that? Are they looking to hand it off, or are they looking to participate in their own future success? What does that investment look like? What does that commitment look like? And none of the things that we talk about with the client in terms of deciding whether or not they're an ideal fit for us have anything to do with the actual services we provide. Has nothing to do with the type of website we build, has nothing to do with the app, has nothing to do with the marketing, the social media marketing, the organic or the paid, has absolutely nothing to do with it. It has everything to do with who our businesses are and who the principals mm-hmm. behind those businesses are, and what are our core fundamental beliefs. What are we looking to accomplish together?
Interesting. So it sounds like you're really looking to just find out what their mindset is. And, you know, if they're a growth oriented company, if they value your marketing and your services and how it can help them grow at the end of the day, then they're going to be a good fit for someone who's more, you know, just concerned about getting the cheapest service and, you know, just doesn't see the long-term growth of what you guys, where you can help them grow to.
Yeah. And that is so true. And it goes right back to my comment, pretty much the first thing that you asked me about. And I told you it was something I learned from my dad a long time ago. Right. And he's no longer with us, but you know, that is his legacy as far as I'm concerned, is that it's find somebody with a need and find someone with the ability to fulfill that need, to satisfy that need, to mm-hmm. fill that gap. And put two good people together, and then everything else will work. But it's based on that, you know, that initial principle, right? That initial value that you put on a healthy, respectful, mutually respectful relationship. We can solve everything else. If we have a good, mm-hmm. respectful relationship working with each other, everything can get solved. And whether that's in one yeah. step or whether that's in a series of 20 steps, but it's also important to make sure that we can be profitable. Right. Our goal is to help our clients become profitable. We're not interested in any vanity metrics that are out there that a lot of people are touting. You know, look how many impressions you got on your TikTok. It makes no difference. Like, those mean nothing yeah. as far as we're concerned. It's did somebody place an item in the cart, and did that cart get a Visa card attached to it, and did that order go through, or did the appointment mm-hmm. get booked, or whatever that conversion is. But when we're looking at it, from a perspective of helping someone get from where they are to where they want to be, everything is individualized. There is no blanket approach. There is no off-the-shelf approach to, because every business is different. Even if you line up 10 of the exact same practitioners in the same niche industry, you cannot mm-hmm. apply a blanket approach to it at all.
I agree.
Every single business owner's got something else that they offer. Something unique, something that they're strong at. And every single client who's looking to have a service fulfilled has their own opinion on what matters to them. You cannot apply a blanket approach to it. So our blanket approach is being consistently unique in everything that we do. So we follow principles, we follow best practices, but you cannot do a blanket approach to it. You still have to apply the attention that it deserves.
Yes, you don't have one size fits all approach at all. It's we've got to figure out what makes your clients unique and help them to communicate that with their potential customers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Awesome. All right. Well, we are going to be wrapping up here shortly, and then we'll be moving on to the fast five,
okay.
which are five rapid fire questions. But before we move on, I'd love to know where you see Seva Inc. in 5 years' time.
Yeah. That's a great question. We'd love to know that too. And we are working on that constantly. Our company has evolved. Our agency has evolved. We did start as a very small shop. And our goal was, how can we be profitable? How can we be successful? Whatever your level of scale is. So there are a lot of people who try to scale real fast, but if you're not profitable at one, you're not going to be profitable at 100. I don't care what anybody says. Even if you think like a super organization that starts with a W that has retail shops all over the world, yes, they're making their money on margins and buying power and volume, but you still have to be profitable at every step, at every iteration. So what we're looking at is, well, you know, again, how does the market and how does the demand and the gap continue to be identified and be evolved? And so our agency has scaled and grown considerably over the last few years. Certainly, as I said, the pandemic was a catalyst for our growth. But before we could grow, we actually had to back up and reposition and analyze again. What worked yesterday doesn't necessarily work today and probably won't work tomorrow. So you cannot just assume that, well, throw more money at it or push harder or push faster and you're going to be successful. Now you have to make sure it's going to work. So what's changed? So so in order for us to predict where we're going to be in 5 years, we spend a ton of time analyzing data and analyzing, you know, what works. And really what's also come down for us is systems, automations, embracing automation. We have to embrace it. We can't just sell other people to embrace automation. We're embracing automation ourselves. So we've gone from being a marketing company to a full stack development agency to be an agency that actually builds software as a service and works with companies in building out their services, helping companies enter the 21st century, if not preparing for the 22nd century, basically, right? In terms of embracing the idea of what purpose does technology serve? A lot of people want to think about the fact that, you know, I hate technology because it's replacing people. No, it's not. It can if used improperly, but it's a tool. Mm-hmm. And the way we look at technology and the way we look at automation is how can we allow automation to serve where really valuable resources known as humans, known as employees and employers, have been spending a bunch of their time on repetitive manual strain type of processes, and they're not actually living their fullest life. They're not actually providing their fullest value. How can we provide automation and technology to relieve them of that monotony so that they can be free to go off and really add value in the world? And so that's our look, and that's where that's where our agency is going towards building systems for enterprise, even small enterprise, medium and large enterprise, but building systems and embracing automation, embracing technology, because that's where we believe the value is. We believe that people want to live their life and find value and purpose. And want, back to your very first question you asked me about where's my inspiration, our goal in life is to give other people that ability to find renewed inspiration of what their purpose is, and we can assist through a healthier relationship with technology and automation.
Yeah, I think that's so awesome that you guys are helping other businesses to come up with those custom software solutions that is going to help just improve their operations. Because, if it's something you're doing all the time and it's a monotonous task and there's no solution on the market already, coming up with a custom solution is gonna just, it's gonna make your life so much easier. It's gonna free up so much time. So I love that you guys are doing that.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So that's where we see ourselves in about five, for sure.
Awesome. All right. Well, we're gonna move on to the fast five. So I have five rapid fire questions for you.
I am nervous. Are you ready? I am nervous. But I guess I am ready. So go ahead.
What's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
There are not enough books out there in the world. That is true. And in full disclosure, I have gone and become somebody who's an audiobook person. But the short answer that I forgot was a fast five was Traction. Traction's definitely a book that has made a huge impact.
Such a good one. Awesome. And what does your morning routine look like?
So morning routine for myself has to start with a shower. Definitely. Definitely a shower. Definitely, I need to feel alive and healthy, et cetera, presentable. There's no such thing as flannel pajamas. I don't do the COVID mullet something professional on top
like
and pajamas on the bottom. So got to be on my game. So definitely acting like I want to become and creating that environment. So it starts with personal care. But getting into the office, the very first thing before we start work, and before, you know, we have a bit of a hybrid going on. So there's people are coming into work, but there are some people who are working from home certain days of the week. But certainly when everybody's in office, doesn't matter what percentage of people are in office. before we get down to business, the very most important thing is actually greeting everybody and individually shaking everybody's hand or saying hello to them, asking them how they're doing, remembering what's going on and what they may have shared about their personal lives if they've got a sick relative or they've just recently moved or something like that. So the very first thing is culture and making sure that our all of our colleagues, and we have a very, we don't refer to them as employees and we don't refer to them as staff. I don't know what it is, but there's just something that doesn't feel right. So they're colleagues of ours, they're associates of ours, they're professionals. We've all got different responsibilities within the agency, but they're all equally important. So it's making sure that we have a human connection with all of our colleagues in the morning. And then when we've had that opportunity, we make sure that they're in a good spot, a healthy spot. We break off into our morning summits, and that starts with whether you're in production or in business development or whatever sort of your field of expertise is, we huddle as a group because we don't believe in departments, we don't believe in silos, so we believe in making sure that everybody who's working on a project for a client, that we holistically are up to date and aligned with, whether you're a copywriter, a developer, an SEO expert, an analyst, whatever it is that you're doing, that we're in line and we have the latest updates for who we're serving, how we're serving them, what we're going to accomplish today as a goal, as a unit, as an agency. So we make sure that our meetings are, you know, properly scheduled and aligned and that we know what we're looking to accomplish that day. That is our morning routine. And then we go off and do our thing.
Awesome. Amazing. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
So, yes, there is. And I know there are people who are going to say that this could be a cliche because you know what? I love and admire some of the things that Elon Musk is doing. He's certainly not a conventional individual. I love some of the things that Richard Branson has done. He's certainly not a conventional individual. And one of the things I like about him is that he has said, a customer is not always right. That is the biggest fallacy out there. And I actually firmly believe that. I believe in making sure that our colleagues are well taken care of, that our colleagues are well trained. We hold high expectations on how our colleagues present themselves, but the client is not always right. Sometimes the client's just wrong. And so we make sure that our priorities and our principles are there. So one of the things I learned from Richard Branson is take care of your team and make sure that they're well educated, well informed, well resourced, but take care of them because then they're going to take care of your client and the company for you. But ultimately it goes back to my dad. And I have to tell you, I mean, the man was amazing. He didn't have an education that is conventional, but he learned what it was to master the power of people, the power of relationships. And so beyond all things that I've learned from anybody else is the example and the legacy that he's left for me. So he's my CEO.
Amazing. I love that.
Yeah.
Very good. And what is your favorite online tool?
So it's funny. I am a bit of an analyst type of individual. My partner's probably more of an analyst. She'd probably laugh if she heard me say that a little bit. But one of the tools that I've learned since joining the agency a few years back, 4 years, I think, almost 4 years back, is I learned a little tool called Built With. Because I didn't know the first thing about websites. I really didn't. I mean, I was cool and hip with technology when I was 13 back in the 1980s, but certainly not today. But, and that's probably not the only tool I use. I mean, we use monday.com all the time because it helps us. Again, it's about automation. It's about CRM. It's about managing. But with the first tool that I literally fell in love with was Built With, because I could understand the difference between different types of websites and where they were built and what plugins, what platforms they were built with and built. There you go. Built With. And I needed to understand that. I will never become a developer. Okay. I don't aspire to be a developer. They are a special breed of human beings and experts, but I needed to at least be able to have a conversation and gain some understanding. So that's Monday and Built With. I'm cheating. Two answers.
Okay. No, that's very good. And last question. What's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I wish I'd understood that the conventional education system that we continue to perpetuate for our own children that we went through was never designed for the entrepreneur. was never designed for the business owner, was never designed for the aspiring business owner. And I wish I'd known that as a kid growing up. I wish I'd known why I felt like an outcast, not horribly, but just something wasn't quite lining up. And I wish I'd better understood how I could then serve our clients earlier into my career. My career, as I said, dates back into financial services, right? But I realized that that's exactly what has provided me opportunity. The flaws in the conventional system that we continue to support and perpetuate with a bunch of people who write legislation and create policy who actually don't get it themselves. And because, why? Well, because the vast majority, I don't know if that number is 85%, but the vast majority of people that our systems graduate are set up not to be entrepreneurs or business owners, but they're set up and educated and equipped to be good employees. And that's not conspiracy theory. That's a reality. Break it down. So if I wish I'd known anything earlier, was how to really create a system that would engage and attract those people, welcome them into a fold of understanding that now that they've gone through what the society says they've got to go through, we're that 1%. We're the weirdos over here. We're not normal. As an entrepreneur, as a business owner, you're not normal. So stop trying to stop trying to take advice from people who are normal and apply it to your life, because it's not going to click. You're always going to be looked at funny, looked at sideways, and that's okay. If that's happening, you're onto something. So that's kind of what I wish I'd learned how to sort of bottle earlier as a system. And that's what we're attempting to do today.
Oh, I love that so much. It's so true. Well, RF, thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. You shared a ton of great information. Your story was so interesting. So thank you again for joining me for today's episode on the Agency Toolkit Podcast.
Julia, the pleasure has been mine. I thoroughly enjoy it, and I look forward to hearing more of your podcasts. I've been listening to them, and I look forward to what you've got coming up next. So thanks for having me on here. It's been a pleasure to serve.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.